Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort, and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an approved Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'll be talking with Malvin Carroll about his late January stay at the Boardwalk Villas with his wife and 9-year-old son. Welcome to the show, Mal.
Hello.
So, we're here to talk about your winter vacation. You were at Walt Disney World, what, end of January, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I arrived on the 25th, stayed through the 1st of February.
All right, so right there at the end of the month, and just you and your wife and your child, and that's kind of, I think, maybe what the focus of the show is going to be a little bit today. We're going to talk about traveling with a 9-month-old. Had you ever brought your child to Walt Disney World with you before?
No, this was our first time actually on vacation, really his first time away from home. So this was an all-new experience for us.
Wow. Lots of firsts.
Yes.
And where'd you guys stay?
We stayed at Boardwalk Villas. We rented points from somebody we found on a forum and negotiated the rate through them and stayed in a one-bedroom villa there.
And what was the kind of thought process there? How did you come to the decision that that was what you wanted for this vacation?
We wanted something that would allow us, because we've done some pretty extensive sleep training with our son, meaning that he went down to bed while we were there roughly around between 6 and 6:30, and we didn't want to break that schedule, and we didn't want to be tied up in a room asleep at 6 o'clock every night. So we wanted something that we could put him down and then kind of go relax back in the living room area and kind of hang out for a while still. So that's why we really sought a one bedroom.
Okay. And did you just use a pack and play, or did you rent a crib?
We actually used the pack and play that's provided there at the villas. Those of the folks that are listening that are familiar with the villas probably know that some of the closets are rather large. So the closets just off the bedroom or the bathroom, we put him in there and closed the door. So we actually were able to go between the living room, the bedroom, everywhere without disturbing him.
Oh, nice. Yeah, at Boardwalk in particular, the closets off of the master bath in the one bedrooms are very large.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's the pack and play with adequate room, so.
Okay. Great. So talk to me a little bit about your preparation for this vacation, because, you know, obviously the planning has to be a little different when you know that your day is going to need to end and get you back to the resort in time to get a 9-month-old down to bed by 6 o'clock.
Right, right. We pretty much planned our day that we would try to skip his morning nap. We would try to do some. Our whole thought process was that we would go into it and be flexible. I am a huge planner on trips, massive Excel spreadsheets down throughout the day. Everything's planned, and we kind of went into this that, you know, we're going to be flexible. But in the morning, we would skip his nap. We'd try to, like, let him sleep on us, sleep in the stroller or something like that, and then come back around lunchtime for his afternoon nap, go back out for a little while. And we were a little – we did plan to be a little flexible. 6:30 wasn't as hardcore as we are at home.
Okay.
It slipped towards, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock some nights. just depending upon how things were going.
Okay. Well, so I always know that the other big question when you bring a small child to Walt Disney World is how to handle the stroller situation. So did you bring a stroller or rent a stroller? How'd you do it?
We brought our stroller. We went back and forth up until probably 2 weeks before we left. We were going to bring it, and then we're like, no, it'd be so much easier just to rent one because we don't have to carry it. But we flew Southwest, and with the just being able to have our as many bags, pretty much two bags each, and then plus they don't count strollers as luggage. We just decided, you know, let's just bring his stroller. He's used to it. It gave him that sense of familiarity in a unfamiliar place, gave him that kind of that comfort. That was kind of our approach to it.
Sure.
And I'm glad we did, because it was just so much easier going through the airport with him in a stroller and checking that plane side. The car seat we checked at the gate, at the ticket counter.
Oh, right. Yeah, so the gate check or, you know, check through. And so when you retrieve the seat, I'm getting the impression that means you rented a car?
We did rent a car, and we pretty much decided this time that's probably the last time we're going to rent a car, just because of, I mean, we've been numerous times, and we've always rented a car when it was just the two of us, and that's because we went and did other things, but just we stayed exclusively on the property this time, and we could have easily made out. And we determined, actually, it was easier just to use Disney transportation with him and the stroller because of the number of times you have to fold it and unfold it. Going, like, if you drive to the park for Magic Kingdom, for example, you got to put it in the car, take it out, put it in the tram, take it out, put it. Then you're boarding or the monorail. So it's numerous ons and offs, and if you just drive the bus from your resort, you're just folding it once.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective, but it's true. You end up folding it almost twice as many times if you're going in and out of your car.
Exactly. So.
Let's kind of talk now a little bit more about the things that you had. Were there any kind of special things that you knew on the way going in that these were things you wanted to make sure that you did, that were must-dos for you for this trip?
We always like going to either the Crystal Palace or Chef Mickey's. So those, we went to Crystal Palace. My wife is a big Winnie the Pooh fan, so she wanted to introduce our son to Winnie the Pooh and all of his friends there at the character breakfast. So that was a must-do for us. Toy Story Mania is always a big must-do for us ride-wise. But generally, we wanted to just kind of, this was probably the most take-it-easy approach we've ever had. Another must-do that we did was we wanted to have a night out, just the two of us. So we did hire a babysitter and went out to dinner at California Grill.
Okay. Well, let's kind of work through these things one at a time and maybe talk a little bit more about them. So this Crystal Palace breakfast was something you were really looking forward to. Was this a pre-park opening or just an early breakfast at Crystal Palace?
It was pre-park. My wife really wanted to get a picture of him down on Main Street, kind of like set him down on Main Street. He's not walking yet. He is, at that time, he was crawling. But she wanted to get a picture of him, just trying to get him sit still just for a few moments with no crowds. But right. Unfortunately, it was pouring down rain morning. So that did not happen.
Best laid plans.
Yeah. We had actually originally planned that to be earlier in the week. And it was gorgeous earlier in the week, but we switched it to the end of the week just because of doing some scheduling, juggling. And kind of wish we had left it to begin with, but oh well.
Oh, missed opportunities. Those happen no matter how well you plan, I think.
Indeed.
Because if you'd have done it the other way, it probably would have rained the early in the week and been gorgeous second time.
Yeah.
All right, so you did the early Crystal Palace breakfast. How did it go doing, a character buffet like that with, a 9-month-old who's mobile because he crawls around, but at the same time not standing and, probably only eating bits and pieces of regular food at this point?
Yeah, it went great. My wife, she is just much of a planner as I am. So she had his meal planned out. She was ready to feed him his breakfast there. As soon as the characters started coming around, he was enamored with them. By this point in the week, this was on Friday, so it was towards the end of it. He was used to seeing characters. He'd already seen Mickey and Goofy and Pluto and several of the others. So he was used to interacting, them coming up to him, and he would just reach out and grab them and their nose and things like that. So yeah, it went great. He was, as long as we were either feeding him or he was interacting with a character, things were going great for us.
Okay. And how was it for you from the perspective of, that's the one thing that always kind of bugged me about character breakfasts is that sort of juggling act you have to do with, going up to get food from a buffet and having a kid that, you can't leave by himself. And how did that go?
My wife and I just took turns going up there. I would go up or she'd go up and stay with him. Luckily, the character attendants were pretty, or the waitress was pretty good. The server was pretty good at telling us, you probably got 5-10 more minutes, kind of helping us guide our pace ourselves. So that worked out well.
That's the hardest part among all of that.
Yeah, you don't want to miss somebody. So.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds great. So that was that big must-do. So the next question is, how do you handle a 9-month-old on Toy Story Midway Mania?
That ride, along with several other rides like that, he loved because he can ride that. As long as you're holding them, those type of rides, you can hold them on that.
Okay.
And he loved looking at the color, the bright colors that were going that would come by. And I'm thinking of Buzz Lightyear, I believe he also rode. He got a hold of the joystick one time on that, and we'd start spinning around uncontrollably. so that would just interest him. So.
Sure. Now, does he wear 3D glasses or not?
No.
I didn't think that.
No, I don't think you'd know the difference now. Anyways.
Okay. And then you had mentioned one other, your night out. How did you choose a babysitter? How did you work that out?
My wife did a lot of research into it, and she found a company they do background checks on all their employees. They are CPR certified, and they have pretty strict guidelines about who they will hire and what they will and will not do while they're there with your child. Because he goes down so early, we scheduled a dinner at 7:15 so he could go down. And basically, they were just there in case he woke up.
Sure.
But they didn't have to do anything. And we also scheduled that to kind of coincide with the time of wishes so we could see that from table side. But she did a lot of research into it. And their rates, I think, were pretty good for what they offer. She came prepared to basically play with him if needed, but she didn't have to. So she got there in time to meet him before he went to bed, before he went down. So she at least got to meet him. He knew that she was there, type thing.
Right. And so you guys went to California Grill. So tell me about your dinner experience at the new California Grill.
Aaron, this was probably, and I've said this a couple of times, I think I posted it while we were there, this was one of the best meals I've ever had anywhere. On property, off property, some of the best service I've ever had. I mean, California Grill, we all know, is not cheap, but for the price we paid, it was well worth it. Service was outstanding. It was not rushed. It was perfectly paced. I mean, the server, recommended different entree options, appetizer options. I asked for his recommendation for a wine selection to go along with my dinner. He brought out two samples for me to try, both which were great. I mean, just from beginning to end, service, food, quality, portion size, everything was incredible.
Terrific. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. We had been pre-renovation.
Okay.
And it's just, I think I enjoyed it before, and I think it's even better now.
And you said you had timed your reservation to try and coincide with Wishes. Did you watch Wishes tableside, go out to the observation deck? How'd you do that?
We did tableside. It was actually, again, kind of rainy that night, and probably about, I think probably on down at ground level, you know, California Grill's up on the top floor of the, right. the Contemporary, but on ground level, it was probably in its 40s. So I can only imagine what it was out in the observation deck.
Oh, yeah.
We did a table side. We were a couple rows back, but just had a partial obstruction. Just the higher fireworks that went up, you couldn't see up because of the roof of the building
sure.
or the ceiling, rather. But otherwise, it was still a great view.
And because you weren't standing outside in the rain in 42 degrees, it was probably a better view than you would have had in the park.
Indeed.
Okay, so those are the big must-do things. But you were there a whole week. Did you actually spend, you know, every day that you were there in theme parks, or did you spend some time out of the parks as well?
We spent every day, at least part of the day in the park. I believe it was one day it did get kind of nasty, and we kind of just hung around the resort for a little while and just kind of took it easy that afternoon. We went out in the morning and came back. It was actually on Wednesday because we went to Hollywood Studios, did our rides there that we wanted to do, and then came back because it was – like I said, nasty. It was nice being at the resort for a day and enjoying that. Of course, we didn't go in the pool or anything, again, because it's cold and rainy, but it was a nice room and just kind of gave all of us a time to slow down for a day.
Well, and there's an important thing to think about, too, is that, you know, with the weather being a little bit questionable and traveling with a small child, you know, staying in that one bedroom probably was really appreciated on a day when you were stuck inside a bit, because there was room for him to move around.
Yeah, because again, he was crawling then, and it's just when he was really getting really mobile. So he enjoyed crawling around all day long and playing with things, exploring a new place.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's just not much room to do that in the value resorts.
Right. Exactly. So that one bedroom had plenty of room for that.
Okay, well, let's kind of go around. We don't need to go day by day, but maybe we can go park by park and kind of talk about some of the things that stood out about the trip in each of the parks, since you did, you know, spend time in the parks each day. Why don't we start with Magic Kingdom? Because clearly there was some must-do stuff there. So what were some of the highlights of the time that you spent in the Magic Kingdom?
We did the meet and greet with the Talking Mickey, and that was really great. Just because, you know, you can go up to the characters most of the time, and they're not going to talk to you. They don't talk to you, except this one Mickey, Talking Mickey, and that was nice for him to interact with. That was probably a pretty big highlight there.
He found it easier to interact with the character that talked to him?
Yeah, because he was moving and he would kind of say things to him, and of course he's reaching out his nose, and Mickey would interact with that. So
sure,
that was pretty nice. Of course, we also did quite a bit of shopping, being the first time. His first time there, got his official Mickey Mouse Club embroidery ears.
Of course.
There. And then just true to Disney customer service, their cast members, we were in the one of the shops there. They noticed that he had the first time button on it was probably either his stroller or his diaper bag, they noticed. So one of the cast members went into the drawer, got another button out and a Sharpie, and drew a lot of drawings and things on a kind of a custom button for him, which was kind of neat. It was one of those little extra special touches. It was nice getting that first time button when you check in, but just something a little extra special during your trip was neat.
Now he's got a unique memento of his first trip.
Indeed, yeah. So those were some of the big highlights for us at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, we walked around and did lots of some of the rides that we could. You know, Big Thunder Mountain we had to trade off on, but rides like that. But just kind of enjoyed our days and just him being able to hear and see lots of different things.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, when my son, even when he was three, we took our first trip, and he was a little slow to warm up to attractions and things. But even at three, he really got a lot of enjoyment just from the sights and sounds and smells, you know, just the atmosphere around in the parks.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be attractions. Were there attractions that he seemed to react particularly positively to that you did bring him on?
Anything that would have the lights, the sounds, the bright lights. I mean, we did, like, you know, I know where I'm jumping ahead to Epcot, but things like Nemo in Epcot, those type of rides, he liked.
So, but the dark rides in Magic Kingdom, not so much, because the dark, not so much.
I mean, we took him on the Haunted Mansion with us.
Oh, okay.
And he did fine.
Yeah, good. That's good to know. Were there any attractions at Magic Kingdom that you took him on that afterwards you thought, yeah, we probably should have skipped that one?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
I think, I mean, he reacted very well. He's pretty flexible, so.
You're a lucky man.
He's going, yeah. So far, he is.
All right, so that's Magic Kingdom. Let's go ahead and move over to Epcot. You mentioned Nemo and Friends.
Right.
What else about Epcot kind of stood out as you know, memorable moments?
Almost every pavilion we went into. The cast members there, again, just interacting with them. I mean, 9-month-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed boys are cute, and they like them. I don't know, but they all just want to talk to him and kneel down in front of his stroller and just interact with him. And of course, he ate that up just because, you know, he likes people talking to him. So that was memorable. I mean, some of the things that I didn't think I would encounter, I did. Things like those cast members. I mean, I say, you know, I'm going to have a good time, take them on some rides for the first time. But it was those type of things that were memorable. Really,
yeah, those little interactions, I think, that you don't expect. Sure.
Right.
And anything about your time in Epcot, like one of the things that we learned in Epcot when our son was little, is, you know, we learned, this is kind of a silly thing maybe, but to pay attention to his legs. Now yours was small enough that he was in the stroller the whole time, but there's something about the concrete in Epcot that it reflects the sun more than any place else. I don't know if you've ever encountered this, but our son has really sensitive skin. And so he got a sun rash.
Okay.
From being in Epcot.
You know what? Actually, he did too. He got a small little burn, and it was in Epcot because it was really hot that day.
Yeah.
That's when the day before it turned cold. But yeah.
So
that's true. That's interesting you say that, because we were in Epcot that day, and it's when he got it.
Yeah, and we've never run into that in any of the parks, but both of the kids have had it happen after a sunny day in Epcot.
Wow. Good to know. Slather on extra suntan lotion, I guess.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what we learned here, is that we had to do extra suntan lotion and you know, make sure to get them breaks out of the sun, you know, find – actually, that's how we first discovered Club Cool, was needing to go in someplace to get them out of the sun for a bit.
Right. You know, and another thing is just those baby centers. We actually went and toured the or walked through the Epcot baby center. That's another great thing, especially if you have those really, really small ones, just to get them out of the heat for a little bit. Those are really, really nice and very well laid out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And something to definitely plan for if you're traveling with a small child is, you know, look ahead and see where those baby care centers are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I always have to ask, and we forgot to ask about Magic Kingdom, any, you know, food experiences in either park that stood out?
We didn't do, honestly, a lot of, this time, a lot of dining in the park, mainly because we came back for lunch every day.
Oh, right, because you were coming back for an afternoon nap, so.
And I had gone out on Saturday, the day we got there. I ran out to the grocery store and stocked up on groceries. So we ate lunch pretty much every day in our resort, in the room, while he was napping. But, of course, Magic Kingdom, you gotta have the Dole Whip. That's a must-do when you're there.
Of course.
We did go when we were in Epcot, we did go to La Hacienda de San Angel.
Yep.
I think it's how you say it. And that was good. We did that for dinner before we left Epcot for the day. And that was pretty good.
Okay. All right. So we've now talked about Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios. I know that you talked about Toy Story Midway Mania, how that was a must-do, and it was a great experience. Anything else stand out about time in Hollywood Studios? I know the weather got to you there and cut it a little short.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot there. That was kind of our really, really short day. That and just because there's not a lot of rides that he can ride there.
Right. And at 9 months, even the Disney Junior stuff is, you know, still not, yeah, not quite there yet.
And it was cold, so we just kind of came back, and that was kind of the part that I won't say we missed that park, but we just spent very little time there.
Sure, sure. Now, did you use, and I guess this is a good question to ask now too, because it's relevant to Epcot. Did you use the walking paths or the friendship boats to go back and forth?
To go to Hollywood Studios, we used the boats. And to Epcot, we walked every time, just because from Boardwalk, it's really close to walk to Epcot.
Right.
And just because of the temperature, we did the boats for Hollywood Studios. I think if it was as warm as it was earlier in the week, we probably would have easily walked it to Hollywood Studios without a problem, because right, we could have came out the backside of the villas and been really close.
Right. Yeah, but it makes sense. And it's, you know, cool and rainy. Probably don't want to be on the walking path. I can figure that, yeah. All right, and that leaves Animal Kingdom. Did you spend time in Animal Kingdom?
We did. That's always our first resort. That's kind of a tradition of ours. That's just something we started, mainly because it's a park that – I shouldn't say it's a smaller park. It's just the park that we do the least in,
okay,
if you will. We enjoy riding, going through the safari, and doing I like Expedition Everest and those rides. But that was his first ride was actually the safari ride.
Okay.
We took one, so that was fun.
What did he think of the safari?
I'm not sure how much he really knew what was going on. He enjoyed riding around, okay, and being in the open air.
But just not sure how much he noticed or saw?
Yeah. So because there's nothing that he could really touch or interact with. So right. we just kind of held him. And in fact, I think he slept through a good portion of it just because of the time. It was 9 o'clock, his first nap.
Okay.
So he probably slept through most of it.
Yeah. Now, did you find that he napped pretty well during the day? You know, I know you didn't plan on being back at the resort for his first nap. Did you find him, you know, napping pretty readily in the stroller?
He wouldn't nap in the stroller. He would nap on us. So we try to go into a quiet place. Like the day we went to Epcot, my wife went first to ride Soarin'. So I kept him out in the lobby area and kind of walked around with him, and he fell asleep on my shoulder. So that was – he got a little cat nap in during that time.
Sure.
Those type of things. So we tried to do that a ride like that generally at 9 o'clock.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. You know, it's a both a nod to his schedule, but also, you know, a modification that made it work for you in the parks.
Exactly.
So we've talked about each of the parks. We talked about a lot of different things. What would be maybe a couple of tips that you would give to somebody else who's getting ready to take a trip with a child who's not a 3-month-old, but by the same token, you know, under one? And that I think in some ways that stage is among the most difficult because, you know, again, the kid's getting to be more active, but also isn't walking yet and is probably limited on what he can ride.
Exactly. The biggest tip is be flexible with your schedule. I am usually when we go, I am so rigid. I mean, everything's planned out from the moment we get there to the moment we leave and everything in between. But be flexible because for me, I had a far more enjoyable time once I got there a couple of days and my wife finally made me realize that, hey, if we get his afternoon nap in and we're not coming back, or we're not staying in the park and he's missing both his morning and his afternoon nap, we're both going to have a far more enjoyable time. Once I realized that and said, okay, we'll come back, we'll relax a little bit, and then go back out, things went a lot better for everybody. So that, and then also pre-plan before you go. You know, my wife sent down a box full of food and supplies because we're, again, pretty rigid on what we feed them and those sorts of things. So all that pre-planning helped.
Sure.
So that when we got there, we had everything. There was a little incident when we actually shipped the package that because the conference centers or hotels with conference centers are run by a third party, we arrived on a Saturday. We could not. They told me I couldn't get our box, which had diapers, food.
That's not
and I was
good.
Like, "That's," I said, "That's unacceptable. We need it." And they worked it out in true Disney fashion. They worked it out, and within an hour or two, the box was delivered to our room. So
but that's a really good tip. You know, there are a few hotels at Disney that are designated as convention hotels, and basically, it's not that the whole, you know, everything is operated by a third party, but you've got shipping and receiving essentially that's handled by a separate office.
Right.
And so at Boardwalk, at the Contemporary, and at Coronado Springs, mm-hmm. I think those are the only three. You have to be careful about packages because they do get handled by a third party and, you know, access to them can be tricky during other than regular business hours.
Right, right. Which are typically a half a day on Saturday and then Monday through Friday. So, and they were also willing to, if they couldn't get it, they were going to compensate us for diapers and food that we would need to buy at the store. So they were more than willing to work with us once they realized that what was in the box and how we needed it. So.
Well, it's nice to hear that they were so good about working with you on it and ultimately being able to get you the package.
Right, right. So.
Okay. So any other tips we should keep in mind?
We found bringing his stroller. I know it may have seemed a little cumbersome from the outset, but it was much easier for us to have it going through the airport, getting like even from our car to through the ticket counter up all the way through everything, and then navigating Orlando, which is a pretty good size airport, navigating through all that, not carrying them on our side, was nice. And then just, we were familiar with it. He was familiar with it when we were in the park. So it wasn't, I mean, the worry about it being dirty or anything like that. It was ours.
Right.
It was worth the little bit of hassle. Plus it was, I actually put stuff in it while I was underneath it when I was going through the airport. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Made for a free luggage cart.
That's right. That's right.
All right. And, you know, I wanted to ask, because it came up a couple of times. You were traveling at the end of January, and sounds like you got the full range of, you know, January and Orlando weather, from, you know, hot days to downright cold and uncomfortable days. If you had to do it over again, would you do the same week?
Yes. Yeah. We enjoy going at that time of year. We've been before. The crowds are lower than other times of year. Of course, the prices are a little lower. And we've been before, and it was 70, 80 degree weather the whole entire week. So we've been towards the beginning of December, and it's also been that same range of temperatures. So you don't know what you're going to get. I tracked the weather the week after we were there, and it was, I think, 80 degrees the entire week. So you just don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess the only other question is, and any regrets about this trip? Anything you feel like you missed or you wish you'd done and you didn't get to, or anything like that?
No, I mean, you always wish it was longer, but there's only so much money and vacation time, so you got to come home at some point. But no, I mean, it was a great time. It was a great first family vacation for us. A lot of memories. Probably wish I'd taken more video. We took a lot of still pictures, but not a lot of video. So that's the only one regret, I guess you say, I have about the trip.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the one thing I noticed, is that I know I rely on my phone a lot to take video, and now with my Disney experience, and so you're using the phone, you know, in the park quite a bit, you get to the point where you don't want to use your battery.
Right.
And I'm struggling, you know, it's I'm almost thinking about getting a standalone, you know, small video camera again. I mean, I used to use one, but I stopped using it. My phone took better video.
Yeah. I mean, we had one. We actually have a pretty good size DSLR, and then a point and shoot, and then a video camera. And depending on where we were going, we didn't always bring all the cameras.
Sure.
All three of them were brought with us, but it was just one of those things. I just didn't bring it out of the bag. And if I had it on my wrist or something like that, I may have taken more. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a constant struggle. I have the same thing. You know, I bring the DSLR, and it seems every day that I have the DSLR, I wish I would have had the small camera. And if I only bring the small camera, something pops up and I wish I would have had the DSLR for it.
Exactly.
So never the perfect day, I don't think. So are the plans already underway for the next one?
We're looking at possibly going, actually just my wife and I, for our anniversary, back in the beginning of December. No concrete plans for that yet, but that's, if not then, we're looking at possibly an October trip in 2015. So.
All right. Well, it sounds good. Sounds great. Thanks for sharing this trip with us.
Sure.
I think that you know, people traveling with younger kids will really appreciate the information.
Yeah, hope so.
All right. Thanks a lot, Melvin. Thanks for listening to The Dad Show. Our next live show will be Sunday, March 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can listen and join in at radio.dizdads.com. Hope to see you there.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.